NPR News. This is All Things Considered. I'm Jackie Lydon. Today was quite the payday for some executives at AIG. Even though the insurance firm is broke, it paid out bonuses totaling $165 million. The money comes from taxpayers funneled through the multi-billion dollar bailout plan. The president's top advisors and congressional leaders say they're outraged, but that they can't do anything about it. NPR's Robert Smith reports.
Forget four-letter words. The newest dirty word on Capitol Hill has only three letters.
There are a lot of terrible things that have happened in the last 18 months, but what's happened to AIG is the most outrageous.
That's Larry Summers, President Obama's chief economic advisor. He spoke on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos.
What that company did, the way it was not regulated, the way no one was watching, what's proved necessary, it is outrageous.
What AIG executives did was to make trillions of dollars of bets that subprime mortgages could never go bad. When they tanked, the government felt compelled to prop up the company with $170 billion in taxpayer funds. Even with the money, AIG just posted the largest corporate loss in history. Summers can't, however, blame the owners of AIG, because that would be you and me. After the bailout, taxpayers now control 80% of the company. And Summers says that we, yes, we, are obligated to give those bonuses to the people who ran the company and the economy into the ground, because they signed contracts before the company crashed.
We are a country of law. There are contracts. The government cannot just abrogate contracts. Every legal step possible to limit those bonuses is being taken by Secretary Geithner.
The Treasury Secretary reportedly had some stern words with the company's chairman this week. Edward Liddy, who was chosen by the government to run AIG, wrote in a letter yesterday that he, too, thought the bonuses were distasteful, but that his hands were tied. And Liddy added this thought: AIG needs to retain the best and brightest talent if it's ever going to pay the American taxpayers back. They're not buying that argument on Capitol Hill. Republican Senator Mitch McConnell, speaking on ABC's This Week, raised the idea that perhaps the bonuses could be rescinded if there was some sort of fraud involved.
Did they enter into these contracts knowing full well that as a practical matter, the taxpayers of the United States were going to be reimbursing their employees, particularly employees who got them into this mess in the first place?
Democratic Congressman Barney Frank agreed that the government has to do everything to try to recover the bonuses. Speaking on Fox News Sunday, Frank says if we can't get the money, at least we can get the people responsible.
Who said at what point we're going to give these bonuses no matter what? And I do think it's inappropriate for those people to stay in power at that company.
Should some at AIG lose their jobs over the bonuses, at least they'll have a cushion to fall back on. According to the New York Times, the highest bonus guaranteed under the contract is $6.5 million. Seven executives in the very same unit that brought down the company will get more than $3 million each. Robert Smith, NPR News, New York.
Some late developments tonight in the constitutional crisis in Pakistan. The government has agreed to the opposition's main demand and says it will reinstate the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Iftikhar Chowdhury. It was the latest development after a roller coaster day that started out Sunday in Pakistan. Opposition protesters and riot police had clashed in Lahore in advance of a protest plan for Monday in the capital of Islamabad. NPR's Anne Gerrels has been watching the story, and she joins us from Islamabad. Hi, Annie.
Good evening, or good morning, my time.
Please remind us of who Iftikhar Chowdhury is and why he's so important to the opposition.
Iftikhar Chowdhury was a popular Supreme Court justice who challenged the autocratic decrees of former president and army chief Pervez Musharraf. He was fired for this in 2007 and refused to step down. No justice had ever defied a military dictator before. In fact, Pakistanis say the justice system had always repeatedly caved into the demands of Pakistan's leaders. Chowdhury, a country lawyer and the son of a policeman from one of Pakistan's most remote cities, would seem like an unlikely figure. He's not particularly charismatic. He refuses interviews, and he professes no political ambition for himself. But he has shown exceptional backbone in a country where courts have basically rubber-stamped military coups again and again and again. Hmm. He challenged the military about hundreds of missing Pakistanis. He challenged the entrenched business class over controversial privatization plans. He supported the poor. His firing and his defiance inspired the lawyers' movement, which now for 2 years has steadfastly demanded his restoration and an independent judiciary.
Annie, do we know anything about how this came about when, in fact, the government had been so seemingly resistant to reinstating him?
Well, you're right. This was not expected. I mean, as of yesterday, President Asif Ali Zardari remained adamant he would not give in on Chaudhry's reinstatement. It's believed he feared Chaudhry would overturn an amnesty agreement under which Zardari was able to return to the country, run for office after his wife was assassinated, Benazir Bhutto, that is, without fear of old charges of corruption. But Zardari has so mismanaged the situation in the last few weeks that it just got out of control. He enraged his main political opponents by apparently supporting their ban from public office. They and their supporters then threw in their lot with the lawyers. Today, police either wouldn't or couldn't support swelling crowds in the city of Lahore, which is Nawaz Sharif, Zardari's main opponent's stronghold. Sharif defied house arrest to address a huge rally. The police melted away. What had started out as a clash between police and opposition protesters turned into a huge anti-government rally with people, you know, celebrating on the streets. Pakistanis were stunned by the sudden turn of events. And it's possible Zardari realized that efforts to reach Islamabad by anti-government protesters would be even greater after what happened in Lahore.
Now, Annie, Monday, and as you said, it's already Monday your time, it's supposed to be a day of protest by all the lawyers. Do you think this move will appease the opposition?
Judging by the celebrations we're seeing on the streets, I think absolutely. Of course, they're going to want to see the details, find out exactly what this all means. Happy Pakistanis are already outside the house of the former Chief Justice Chaudhry. And if they're going to be demonstrations tomorrow, I think they're going to be celebrations.
NPR's Anne Gerrells reporting from Islamabad. Thanks very much for this report.
Thank you.